If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 618. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about waterfalls and hidden desert canyons, swimming with whale sharks, white sand beaches, and termite mounds as we go to Western Australia. Welcome to Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. With no further ado, let's talk about Australia. I'd like to welcome to the show Erica Carrico, who is a career and life purpose coach at ericacarrico.com, and she has come to talk to us about Western Australia. Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, and I say Western Australia, we're not going to cover all of it. That is a region, what, roughly 1,500 miles by 1,000 or 1,500 miles, something like that. So a little bit of space out there. We've done two shows on it so far. We did a show way back, episode 136 with Nomadic Matt. He told me one time that was his first big break, was being on the Amateur Traveler talking about that. And then we did episode 358 talking about Perth. So we're not going to talk about Perth so much, even that's where we're probably flying in. What are we going to talk about, Erica?
Generally, when people travel to Australia, they tend to do the most touristy spots, which is great because they're amazing and they're beautiful. And of course, I've been to them as well. But we're going to talk about the Pilbara today. And it's a really special place. It's the true Australian outback. It has the best Australian beaches without all of the crowds. It's not touristy. It's really, I believe, Australia's best kept secret. And the Pilbara is really for people who are looking for off the beaten track where most people never see. It's true. It's raw. It's the Australian outback adventure. It's really exciting.
Excellent. And what itinerary are we going to be talking about in more detail?
Yes. Like you said, flying into Perth is definitely the best place to start. And it's really not that much further. You would just add an extra hour and a half flight on up to Newman, which is going to land you right in the middle of the Pilbara Desert. And we'll spend some time probably up and around Newman area. And then we're going to venture over to Coral Bay and Exmouth area where we can sort of wrap up the vacation out by the beach.
Excellent. Well, let's do that then. Shall we start in Newman? We could drive there too from Perth, but that's going to take a little time.
You actually could. Yeah, you actually could drive. And people do. It's about 12 hours. So okay. For Americans, I don't think it's, we drive 12 hours across our, I mean, within our country all the time. Mm-hmm. Most Australians will just think that that's entirely too far, so they'll all fly, but you certainly could drive. And the drive is actually really beautiful as well. You can go up the coast, or you can take a bit of a shortcut and go right through the middle from Perth directly up to Newman. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go through just that really vast outback sort of looking red dirt, canyons, cliffs. I mean, it's actually a very beautiful drive too.
And I see on my map that I would be driving like right through the middle of some lakes. Is this an Australian lake, which means, yes, it's a lake sometimes and other times not?
Yeah, yes, that's right. Definitely. It's a lake sometimes and other times just a huge dust pit. So you have to know what seasons it's a lake if that's what you're looking for. Otherwise, you'll be a little bit disappointed.
And what seasons is it a lake? When is the rainy season in this area?
The rainy season is typically from November through until about February, March, April-ish.
Okay, so summer, late spring, early summer, or into summer.
Right.
Okay.
So let's just say if you fly into Newman, I would say that the best thing to do is to either rent a Jeep. You can rent a truck or even a camper and really spend a few days sort of exploring the area. There's a national park that's really close by. It's called Karangini National Park, and you camp there. There's lots of different campsites, but it's actually really well known for all of its natural watering holes, its beautiful deep canyons, lots of hiking, four-wheel drive trails. But I think most people go there just to swim in these natural, beautiful waterfalls. Those are really flowing, I suppose, during that rainy season time.
Ah, okay. So that clues me in. You said rainy season, and I thought, oh, that's not when I want to go there. I may have been wrong then. When would you recommend we go?
No, I would say, so there you can go either, so it's actually a year-round place. You can go year-round because there's no snow, so there never is really bad weather. And rainy season just means that you might have a thunderstorm in the afternoon, and you might get some downpours, but it's not going to rain the whole day. If anything, it might rain for like half an hour, 40 minutes, but a lot of rain will fall, and it's just enough to sort of fill up those desert rivers, fill up those canyons, fill up those watering holes.
Got it.
But definitely not enough to ruin your vacation. So definitely okay to go during the rainy season.
Okay. And when you say we're camping by a watering hole, and I, every time I say that, I want to break into Waltzing Matilda here, but these are marked camping spots, or are we camping free camping?
You can do both. We've done both, and neither is better than the other. If you're somebody who prefers to have a toilet, a bathroom, possibly some running water, there are definitely campsites that you can park at. They actually have, even up to in the campsites, they'll have different accommodations as well. So if you don't have a tent and you prefer to rent a small cabin, you can also do that. And the cabins will have bunk beds or just beds. Sometimes they'll have an attached bathroom. Other times they'll have bathroom blocks where you just carry your stuff and walk across like a little path or whatever down to the bathroom. But there's different levels of accommodation. So either from tent all the way up to like cabin. And of course, you can also just pitch a tent wherever. If you're just driving down the road and you think a spot looks great, there's no reason why you can't just pull off and pitch a tent there either.
Okay. And what is Karangi known for? You mentioned waterfalls. I'm also seeing gorges and things like that. Are there something else that we should make sure we don't miss when we're in Karangi?
Basically, it's more just about the waterfalls, the watering holes to go and swim in. If you like vast, expansive spaces, it's just a really beautiful, soulful place to be. There's literally stars from horizon to horizon. So at nighttime, the stars just go from the ground all the way up over your head to the ground again. And the different rock and land formations there, keep in mind, they're over 2 billion years old. So it's just a very old, ancient place.
And red would seem to be a dominant color as I look at pictures of there in terms of red earth, red rock.
Yes. Do not pack anything white.
Good tip there. Okay. We're coming home with a red shirt, whether or not we packed it. Okay.
Yes. When we moved back to the States, because I actually lived there for about a year. And when we moved back to the States, I mean, I was just unpacking all of our stuff and everything had this red tint to it. All of our stuff is just covered in red dust. Our shoes are red. Everything is just red, red, red.
Okay. So very, a lot of iron oxide in the soils.
I suppose. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What next?
just around that area too, when you are driving around into Karangini and kind of around the whole Newman area, there's a lot of people will go there for four-wheel driving. It has some of the best four-wheel drive tracks that I've ever been on. And I grew up in New Mexico and Colorado. Yeah, some of the most just sort of off the beaten tracks. So if you're into four-wheel driving and you like that kind of thing, every truck that you rent, every Jeep that you rent there, they're all going to have a snorkel. So you're going to be going through water. You're going to be driving up along cliffs. You're going to be getting stuck in sand pits. So if you're into four-wheel driving, it's also a really great place. There's just four-wheel drive tracks all over that country up there.
Well, and I'm sure that everybody who has done four-wheel driving knew exactly what you're talking about when you said that your truck would have a snorkel. But I'm not sure that everybody else does. What does that mean?
I know. I had never really seen one before either. But yeah, so they actually put snorkels on cars there so that the truck can go down into the water and it spits the water out the snorkel so that the engine doesn't flood with water. So you see people going through, fully submerging their vehicles, like engines and all, and then coming right out the other side.
And how well marked are places like this? I mean, this sounds like the beginning of a really bad made-for-TV special movie of the family that went off into the the outback on a three-hour tour or something like that.
Yes, I was living up there with my husband and my little boy at the time, who was 18 months old. And it was the very first time that we were going to venture out. So we had our truck, we had our snorkel, we were all packed. The best thing to do when you get to Newman is just go to the Newman Visitor Center and they'll give you a map, and it will have maps of these tracks, but they're not marked. They're not marked at all. So you have to definitely be very careful, make sure that you have some sort of sense of direction. My husband does not. And every time he says go one way, I guarantee you 100% of the time you're actually meant to go the complete opposite. So we're out there driving around thinking that we're going to get completely lost. You'll want to definitely go and just grab a map from the Newman Visitor Center and they'll help you out. But nothing's marked. It's not like Colorado or Yosemite or anything like that where you can easily find your way out. So you do have to be really careful.
Okay.
So we're going to drive about 9 hours west of Newman, and that's going to take you to a really amazing, fantastic, and just beautiful place called Coral Bay.
Okay. And 9 hours is a long drive, even for someone like me that likes to drive. Are there any spots we want to hit in the between time, or is there not a whole lot in between?
No, not a whole lot in between. It's pretty vast. It's pretty expansive. I did it with an 18-month-old, and it goes pretty fast. There's a lot to look at. It really didn't feel like 9 hours. And I'm not a car person either, but it actually really was okay and doable.
Okay. Well, and we're not on a big road here, if I've got you in the right place on the map.
Right. No, definitely not. A lot of it is sort of four-wheel drive tracks to start when you're getting out of Newman for probably 2 or 3 hours. And then you do hit a two-lane highway. So you'll pass some mining trucks here and there, some semi-trucks here and there. But aside from that, it's just cars every so often. So it's not a big freeway.
Okay. And we rented a car in Newman, probably, those of us who flew in. And it's going to be okay for us to drop it off someplace else, or am I going to have to bring it back to Newman?
No, Australia is pretty great like that. Cool. They are really set up for travelers and tourists. And even though this isn't a really a big tourist destination, people still do come up here and do that kind of thing. So yeah, you can rent something easily in Newman and drive it out and just leave it in Coral Bay or Exmouth, or drive it back to Newman, or drive it down to Perth, however you felt like you wanted to sort of exit your trip, I suppose.
Okay. Well, and there's a reason why this destination is worth driving 9 hours for. So tell us a little more about Coral Bay.
Yeah. So Coral Bay is just, I've lived all over Australia. So I lived in Australia for 7 years. I lived in Sydney. I lived in Perth, and I lived up in Newman, and I've traveled all around the country. I've been to almost all of the hot spots. I've been off the beaten track. I've been to hundreds of beaches, and I am telling you, Coral Bay is just the most beautiful, magnificent place that I don't want to say ever seen, because I've seen a lot, but one of the top ones within Australia. It's literally like a swimming pool, white crystal sandy beaches. It's tucked away in a bay, so you don't get really rough seas. It's water clear as day. You can be up to your neck in water and still completely make out the grains of sand at the bottom. It's just a really beautiful place to be. And it's remote as well. So you're not trying to fight for space in the sand like you are at a lot of the other Australian beaches.
Well, and we should just put this in context. When somebody from Australia, whether they're originally from there or Des Moines, tells us that it's a white sandy beach, this is a beach that is probably so white you need sunglasses, because the beaches are pretty white in Australia.
Yes, this is definitely whiter than white. It's whiter than all of the other beaches in Australia that I went to.
Okay.
It's true, pure, powdery white, just beautiful. Mm. With the crystal blue water, too. You can go and obviously search online and pull it up, but you'll see it's just got that real beautiful blue water with the white sand. So,
okay. And now Coral Bay itself doesn't look to be a huge city, small town.
Yes, it's tiny. And I think that's the other reason why I really liked it and why I think, again, it's for people who like to kind of stay out of the touristy traps.
Okay.
It's close enough to Exmouth. So if you drive about an hour and a half north, you're going to hit Exmouth, which is a little bit more touristy. We prefer to stay down in Coral Bay. And then if we wanted to drive up to Exmouth for some entertainment, there's more pubs there. There's cafes. There's restaurants. A lot of the tours go out of Exmouth too. So there's Ningaloo Reef that's there. So you can do like reef tours. You can do snorkeling tours. You can do scuba diving tours. And those all go out of Exmouth.
Okay.
There's actually whale sharks. I don't know if you've heard of the whale sharks.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we've talked about them a couple different times on the show in the Philippines and in Mexico at least.
Yeah. So they pass through here, through Exmouth, late March to late July is usually when those come through. And they actually let you dive with them. Mm-hmm. So that's all done sort of out of Exmouth as well.
Whale sharks don't eat anything bigger than, well, I'm trying to think of how big their throat is. It's like the size of your thumb maybe in terms of widthness. So they don't eat people. They eat plankton.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. Plankton. Yep, you've got it.
As long as you don't wear your plankton-shaped bathing suit, you should be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have one of those, yeah.
I don't know what that would look like, but okay.
And well, the other thing, too, is if you tend to miss that time frame, the humpback whales also go through there as they sort of make their way down the south coast, and that's June through October. So
and
there's
the
a lot
whale
of
sharks are when again?
Whale sharks are late March to late July.
Got it, okay. So if I want to find the outfitting and the adventure tours, I'm up to Exmouth. And if I'm looking for the empty white sand beach and the blue water, then I'm down to Coral Bay.
Exactly. That's right.
And places to stay in Coral Bay?
There's two places to stay in Coral Bay. They are not going to be nice, luxurious hotels. Mm-hmm. They're more campsites, but they're really great campsites. It's really good for families, especially if you have small kids. Coral Bay is a really great place to stay because it's quiet. The water's perfect. The kids can just sort of wade in there. You don't have to worry about a rip or current or anything like that. But two different campsites, neither one is better than the other. They have different styles of accommodation. So you can bring your own tent and just pay for a spot, a couple dollars a night for a spot. Or you can go all the way up to cabins with all the facilities in the cabin. So you'll have a kitchen, you'll have bathrooms. We kind of always did in between when we stayed at Coral Bay. We got little cabins that just had beds and kitchens, and then we would walk elsewhere, like to the bathroom blocks where they had the showers and toilets and things like that. So depending on how much you want to spend, you can go really budget, or you can spend a little bit more and have more amenities.
I assume if we're up in Exmouth, there are a greater variety of options in terms of places to stay.
Yes, there's definitely more of you'll find hotels, you'll find bed and breakfast, you'll find Airbnbs. There's a lot more variety up in Exmouth, absolutely.
Okay. Well, and I know if we were on the other coast, there are certain times of the year we would have to watch out box jellyfish and things like that. We would not want to go in the water or we'd have to take certain precautions. Do we have to worry about that on this coast?
I never had that problem up north. Down south, if you're down by like Margaret River, I have run into some jellyfish quite a bit down there, and there's definitely a season. Up north, I'm not 100% sure, but not the times that I had gone. I never saw signs posted. I never had an issue in the water. So that would be something to double check, though, for sure.
Okay. Any particular outfitters you wanted to recommend in Exmouth before we head away from here?
No, any of them are good. They've all been around forever. So you could either just go into Lonely Planet, just even get up there and wherever you're staying, they'll have tons of brochures, informations, just choose what you're after, all kinds of different tours. If you want one that's more luxurious or relaxing, they'll have those. If you want like a glass bottom boat where you get off and jump in the water, they'll have those. So just get up there, go into wherever you decide to stay, they'll have an information center, and just start reading the flyers and find what appeals to you. Plenty of options.
Okay, excellent. Where to next?
If you have an extra a bit of time, you could drive back down to Perth and then just fly back out of Perth, because the drive down from Exmouth to Perth, there's just a lot to stop and do along the way. But the next stop down from Coral Bay would be a place called Monkey Maya. Have you ever heard of Monkey Maya?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I think I'm confusing it with something in Kenya. So I think I don't know Monkey Maya.
So Monkey Maya is people in Perth know it very well, but I don't think anybody else, I had never heard of it until I lived in Perth. It's a bay, kind of like Coral Bay. Again, beautiful water, but it's actually known for dolphins who have been swimming right up to the shore for over 50 years. And they come in every day. And if you pull it up on Google, you'll see pictures of people out there just standing in the water with the dolphins coming right up to them and swimming around them and swimming around their legs. So it's a really neat way to naturally interact with dolphins up close and personal. And they're wild.
Okay. So not the same issues as swimming with captive dolphins. They can take part if they want to or not.
Yeah, exactly. They can be up there with you or they can swim back out to the ocean. But it's amazing. It's like it's just been passed down from generation to generation with these dolphins, and they just keep coming back. So it's a really beautiful thing to see.
Well, and I found two different posts on Amateur Traveler about Monkey Maya. So yes, I'm going to have to say I have heard of it before, even if I didn't retain that information.
That's the thing about it. It's so Western Australia is just remote, and it doesn't get the marketing, the tourism marketing that the East Coast of Australia does get. So people just don't hear about it.
Sure. Well, for one thing, there's just a lot fewer Australians there to start with. You're talking about an area that has, what, maybe a tenth, if that, of the population of Australia?
Yep, and Perth is, I believe, isn't it the most remote capital in the world?
Yes, if we're talking geographically, not necessarily emotionally, but...
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that.
Excellent. Now, there's a number of different national parks in the area, too. Are there any other ones as we're going down between there and Perth that we want to make sure that we hit?
There are. There's a lot down along the way, depending on what you're into. Okay. There are no more major stops necessarily down until you get to Kalbarri, but there's a lot of tiny little Australian towns, very remote campsites, obviously a lot of tucked away beaches. So if you're driving down, you could stop into, I don't know, the beaches or the little towns, depending on what you're after. But as far as major stops go, I don't think there's really anything next until you get down to Kalbarri.
Well, do you have a favorite beach to stop at or a favorite little Australian town to stop at on the way down there?
Carnarvon is pretty good. Okay. It's Carnarvon. Mm-hmm. And that's another little great stop. A lot of people actually do stop there when they're driving up north. So some different kinds of pubs and restaurants and cafes and another little beach town. Very laid back. You always find people just kind of wandering around with flip-flops on. And sometimes they're in stores and cafes with no flip-flops. So it has that real Australian vibe to it.
And it's like the only town for like 100 miles is the other...
Yeah. That's the
so
thing.
You're probably going to stop there anyway. So,
yeah. Well, and that's another good point, is make sure that you're always filling up with gas at every gas station. So whether you need gas or not, or they call it petrol over there, whether you need petrol or not, you fill up, because you don't want to run the risk of running out in the middle of nowhere. And that happens all the time.
And I assume that there are signs as I'm getting near a gas station that tell me how far it is to the next gas if the people who own that gas station are at all smart.
Yeah, that's right. As you get closer down to Perth, they do that. Mm-hmm. If you're driving from Newman to that 9 hours from Newman to Coral Bay, they do not tell you. So just fill up. Okay. Yeah, no, it's crazy. Huh. It's a little bit frightening. They don't tell you, so.
And then you said not a whole lot until I get down to...
Kalbarri. Okay. And that's about 4 or 5 hours north of Perth at this point.
Okay.
Kalbarri, there's a national park there. A lot of people do go up from Perth. There's great fishing, more beaches, lots of camping. So you're kind of coming back down. The landscape isn't that red anymore. You'll notice that it does change. Mm-hmm. So you won't necessarily have that red dirt anymore, but that's another little great place to stop and stay for a couple days if you wanted to. But again, you could always just do straight from Coral Bay down to Perth and still make it within the day.
Okay. Any other stops before we get back down to Perth?
Yeah. So there is one more. There is one more. And this would be a great camping place too. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful little campsite right on the beach. It's called Nambung National Park in Cervantes, Western Australia. And it's only a couple hours north of Perth, so you're almost home. But this is a really cool place because it has just hundreds of termite mounds. So you can do a tour. You walk mm-hmm. through, do a tour. Sandy landscape with these just big mounds of dirt sort of sticking up, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 feet up into the air. There, it's just got a real beautiful feel
other
to it. It's
planet not, kind of look.
Yes, that's it. Yes, that's yeah. exactly it. Very uh-huh. bizarre. Definitely yeah. worth a stop. 100%.
Yeah, this looks like a take me to your leader kind of spot.
Yeah. It's really weird. And you think you're only a couple hours north of Perth and it's like, what is going on here? But yeah, really cool place. Definitely worth a stop.
Okay. Well, and we should say that if you go back to the episode we did with Matt, way back, what now, 10 years ago or so, we did some of the same itinerary, but we did it by tour bus. So if you want to do the driving, then this is the self-drive tour that we're talking about here, or you can also do some of it. Obviously, you're picking in a more fixed itinerary if you go on a tour bus, but you're also then, if you're traveling as a solo person, maybe you're finding some travel companions on that. So go back and listen to that if that's what you're looking for. So you talked about getting lost in the Western Australia here, or potentially getting lost. Any other place that we haven't talked about already where you almost wanted to be lost? I mean, this is such a cool place that you wanted to spend more time than you had.
Coral Bay. When we got okay. to Coral Bay, that was just a place where we were trying to figure out, how can we live there? How can we stay there? How can we live there? How can we never leave this place? I mean, it's just heaven on earth in all aspects of the way.
One thing that surprised you as you got to Western Australia?
The biggest surprise for me, I'd have to say, was just the energy and the spirit of the land. You mm-hmm. hear so much about Uluru and Darwin and the Aboriginal culture and those places, but the feel of the Pilbara is just magic. It's so ancient and beautiful and raw and vast and really untouched. And out of everywhere I lived in Australia, that was truly the place that I loved the most. I felt really free there on a mind, body, and soul level. And I think it just has a real way of, in a sense, leading you back to who you are.
You're standing in the prettiest spot in this region of Western Australia. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I'm going to say here, aside from Coral Bay, because that's probably the prettiest.
I have my money on Coral
spot.
Bay, but okay.
Yeah. The thing is they're so different, right? So you yep. have Coral Bay, which is so white sand and blue water. And then you have outside of Newman and Kerangini. And Kerangini mm-hmm. is just what you think of when you think of Australia. It's red. You pull into Kerangini and it doesn't look like you've been driving for 2 hours or so from Newman, an mm-hmm. hour and 45 minutes maybe. And you pull in there and it says Kerangini National Park. And you're thinking, what? This looks exactly like everywhere I've just driven through in the last hour and a half. But then you pull into one of the little designated parking areas and you have to hike not far. It's not, you don't have to be in any sort of physical condition to make these hikes. Anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You go down a path or two and all of a sudden the ground just opens up and there's this huge canyon that you wouldn't even seen. You wouldn't have even been able to see like 100 feet away, and it just drops down and there's beautiful green waterfalls filled with just pools of green water at the bottom of these red canyons. And there's something just so magical, I think, about that. And that's something that will stay with me forever in a place that I will always want to go back to. It definitely has a piece of my heart there. And I'll take my kids back to Kerangini just so they can experience just that real ancient, vast beauty.
Okay. You mentioned filling up with gas whenever we can. Don't wearing a white shirt to Kerangini in particular. Other packing tips, you better remember to bring your
swimsuit would be
swimsuit,
one.
Swimsuit, yeah. not plankton-shaped swimsuit. Okay.
Yeah, not a plankton. That would not go over well, I don't think. And hiking sandals, I would say, would be the other thing.
Hiking sandals, not hiking boots, because they're keep your feet cooler.
That's right. Too hot. Okay. Hiking boots are just too hot. Hiking sandals is where it's at there, for sure.
Okay. Glad I asked. That would not have been my guess there. Excellent. Anything else we want to leave people with as a tip for traveling to Western Australia before we get to my last question?
Just put it on your bucket list, because I promise you it's so worth going to. It's just worth every hour that you travel to get there, and it's worth every dime that you'll spend once you're there too.
Excellent. Erica, how would you summarize this area in three words?
Magical, soulful, and adventurous.
Okay. Excellent. And again, Erica Carrico at ericacarrico.com. If we were looking for career and life coaching, that would be where to find Erica. Erica, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Western Australia.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
In news of the community, I heard from Caleb, who just got back from a two-month overseas trip to Africa and Europe to 14 different countries and three continents. He had a layover in Asia. I was trying to figure out where that extra continent came from there. He's currently studying biology at Purdue University and spent some time teaching in Tanzania and Kenya in the month of May. He said, for most of the month, I was working at a school north of Tanga, Tanzania, called Zingibari Secondary, where I taught biology to many of the school's students. While not teaching, I was able to participate in a variety of activities at the resort where I stayed, Fish Eagle Point. These activities included kayaking in the mangroves, scuba diving reefs in the Indian Ocean, and watching green sea turtles hatch, as well as taking classes and learning Swahili. Nina Semiki Swahili Kidogo. Of course, when I finished teaching, there was plenty of time left to take a safari in the Serengeti and the Ngorongoro crater. Being on that side of the world, I decided I could not let an opportunity pass me by, so I decided to travel for a month in Europe along with my brother and cousin. We started in Athens, Greece, and worked our way west, traveling through Budapest, Vienna, Munich, Rome, Paris, and London, just to name a few places, taking the train for most of the trip. Taking the train was an incredible experience, as I loved seeing the beautiful European countryside, not to mention it made travel between cities easy and simple. Also, by taking the train and staying in Airbnbs, it made seeing these destinations quite affordable. My time abroad was unforgettable, and I appreciate the help and advice I received through listening to your many episodes of Amateur Traveler on places before I left. Amateur Traveler has helped me in the past plan my trips, and it continues to be my go-to podcast for all things travel. I look forward to a trip to Dubai and Muscat in March, and I will be using your podcasts on the UAE and Oman to help me plan my trip to the region. Thanks again for making a great podcast and giving me inspiration on where to go next. I look forward to many more amateur travelers to come. Well, thanks so much, Caleb. And I understand your excitement about especially the African part of that, having spent some time in Tanzania and done safari, not to Serengeti, I still need to get there, but to Ngorongoro, which was just spectacular. In fact, my love for Africa is so much that I'm actually going in December on a Botswana safari, as well as then taking a group of you listeners in June of 2019. Remember, you can sign up for that trip, which starts in Johannesburg, South Africa, and ends at Victoria Falls and goes through Botswana as well. You can sign up for that at amateurtraveler.com/Africa2019. Hope to see some of you there. And again, Caleb, thanks so much for your kind words, and glad that we could help. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. Thanks so much for listening.